We are pleased to begin this hour welcoming to the show David Ubben from TheAthletic.com, covering Tennessee and college football. You can find him on Twitter at David Ubben. And David, appreciate the time. If you go on Twitter, you can find some hashtags that are trending. We want to play, we want to coach, while also finding reports that the Big Ten is planning to cancel the season. What do you make of all of this going on at the same time, especially over the last 24 to 48 hours?
Well, I think it's been trending this direction for a long time. I think the reasons are multiple, and I think as much as players speaking up the last few, hours, days, has caught people's attention, it doesn't change the liability issue, which I think is at the center of all this. So, that's where it is. I mean, I think at this point, the Big Ten and the Pac-12, I think you'll probably see some sort of decision this week. I think the SEC, it sounds like it's probably going to stand pat at least for a while and maybe try to ride this out, but it's not looking good.
Are there any sort of conferences that you kind of see banding together? I've seen it thrown out there that, it might be the ACC, the Big 12, and the SEC versus the Pac-12 and the Big 10. Are you seeing any sort of conference alignments or anything like that coming up with all of this?
They'll align until it's not advantageous for them to align. that's sort of how these things go. They want to team up, but then they'll disagree on something, and then all of a sudden they're not a team anymore. So, the answer to that is yes for now, but probably not, I would say.
We're talking to David Ubben from TheAthletic.com. What do you think this week? You mentioned kind of standing pat, but this week and the next few weeks might look like for the SEC from a communication standpoint. Of course, the SEC has a September 26th start date, a few weeks later than at least what the Big Ten had planned for September 5th.
Yeah, well, I mean, in theory, people were expecting a full schedule this week. That was kind of what we heard all last week, was you'd get the opponents at some point last week and then the full schedule. At some point in this week, but now, when the entire season sort of hangs in the balance, it's probably fair to wonder if the SEC doesn't want to wait on that, lest they get in a situation where they announce a schedule and then cancel a season like a week later. So, we'll see kind of where things are at, but, I think the SEC is going to take their time. That's one of the reasons why they pushed to September 26th. They have a little more time. I think when your season starts on September 26th, there's probably no compelling reason to make any definitive decisions in the middle of August, and so we'll see.
Are there any other sort of parameters that are being discussed right now? Obviously, the bubble seems like it could be a stretch as long as you're talking about amateur athletes, but are there any known parameters that presidents and athletic directors are discussing at this point to try to make the season happen?
I mean, there's not much to do. I think that's the thing is, every campus could probably pull off something close to a bubble, but you're basically sacrificing the concept of amateurism, which gets you to 2020 season, but, you're probably going to be dealing with a lot more costly things that sort of upend the entire economic structure of college sports later on, and so that's an issue. I think in general, the players at Tennessee feel pretty good about, the safety precautions that are in place. But the big question that everybody's kind of been waiting on is what happens when students get back on campus? And that's happening at some campuses today. It happens sometime this week, right, at Tennessee. Students start coming back. Classes will start next week. So, I think the expectation is, just knowing what we know about the virus and knowing what we know about the activities of college students, that when they get back on campus, there's going to be a lot of outbreaks at a lot of different campuses. Now, if that doesn't happen and you're the SEC and you've sat back, you're in the middle of September and you haven't seen, a lot of outbreaks, you haven't seen more cases pop up, then maybe you try to go ahead with the season. But that is really the only scenario that, can sort of preclude the idea that the season can probably still happen, is if it's come back and there aren't outbreaks. I'm not quite sure how that happens, but, you can hope, I suppose.
David Ubben with us from The Athletic. David, there have been players from all across the country, players in the Big Ten, players of Tennessee, Jarrett Garantano, Henry To'oto, Alante Taylor on that list, tweeting out hashtag we want to play. Can you tell what kind of role that does play or would play and what presidents decide? How much does that matter? Does it matter at all?
I don't think it matters that much. I think you want to obviously take what the players think into account. But I mean, I don't think this has ever been up for debate. The players have wanted to play. The coaches have wanted to coach since March. I don't know that they're telling people anything that they don't already know. I think if you haven't been paying attention or talking to people, which, you know, the general fan, it might have more impact to say, oh, the players want to play. But, you know, if you're an athletic director or you're a president or you're the people, you know, especially the presidents and commissioners that are making these decisions, you know the players want to play. I mean, call out those folks for the sort of being out of touch if you must, but I don't think that they learned anything yesterday. And so, you know, especially in the Big Ten where some of this stuff is pretty far down the chute and some of that stuff spawned up as a, you know, sort of a panic reaction to rumors, I think it's too little too late. You know, I just think it's too far down the chute and there's not much you can do to fix it at this point. Again, I obviously think players, what they want, you know, is it matters and it should be taken into account. But I don't think that anyone associated with these decisions was wondering, do the players want to play? I think they knew that. So I don't think it will have that much of an impact, honestly.
What is the, I guess, the ramifications for most of the Power 5 conference schools? Obviously, financially is probably the biggest one to take into account. But what are the biggest ramifications from moving the football season to the spring?
I mean, I don't see that as a legitimate option. I don't know what is going to be markedly different in the spring compared to now. And the idea that it would be better is just it's a huge gamble. I've been surprised that the concept of spring is coming up and not sort of kicking the can down the road and maybe you do a split season that starts in November or October and you just sort of go along and hope that you can get in some games. But the idea that we're sitting here in August and that by March or February, unless there's a vaccine or a reliable treatment, that the things are going to be that much different. I don't know that I buy that. You know, you're still going to have a college campus. You're still going to have a virus that very easily spreads. And if you're still not wanting to have players on campus or have students on campus, you're still battling the idea of amateurism. If you're saying students can't come to campus, but players can. So that's important. And I think when people talk about what happens to the players if there's no season, I think the idea that you're going to have some mental health issues and you're going to have some guys that are in rough spots, I think it's true. But I don't, you know that you're necessarily going to take for a given that guys are just going to be thrown back home and said, you know, we'll call you when we call you and you come back. I don't know that you're going to have the same sort of get out of here attitude that they had in March. You know, maybe that's happened, but I don't know that that's necessarily just a given. But I just feel really bad for the players because this is a tough situation. Again, you work a lot. You work really hard to get to this point. This is the most exciting time of the year. And you know, for better or worse, I don't know very many players that you know, truly believe it wasn't going to be a season. And here we are kind of knocking on the door of that reality. And it's a tough reality. And I feel bad for those guys because, you know, you can talk a lot about, you know, holding eligibility and doing what you can for players, none of that stuff's guaranteed. I mean, when you talk about the logistics of trying to preserve a year of eligibility for every player, the numbers don't really add up. And you know, that maybe that happens. I hope it does for those guys' sake. But it's really trending hard toward a life is not fair situation where guys just lose a year of eligibility and the whole season is lost. It's just it's dire. That's what it is.
Yeah, I agree with you. I feel bad for the players. What can you say to them either to make them feel better about it? It's such a weird conversation. Should I ask you, David, about the opponents that were added to Tennessee's schedule on Friday? I mean, what a weird 72 hours to go along with the last 5 months.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I sent a sort of a tongue-in-cheek tweet out on Friday saying, you know, Tennessee, Arkansas, Missouri, some of the people that felt like South Carolina too, some of the schools that felt like they got a rough schedule, I said, well, there's a pretty dark silver lining out there for folks that feel like they got screwed. And I got a lot of like people saying, what do you mean by that? What do you mean by that? Well, I hope by now you people have figured out what exactly that means. I don't know that it was a real thick veil over what that dark silver lining to having a very difficult schedule in 2020 is. It's not looking good that those schedules are played to completion.
Yeah, the release of the announcement on the SEC Network on Friday at 6 p.m., we didn't even make it to the open of Mrs. on Monday before that just got completely pushed aside to everything that we're talking about. Also, since you joined us, your colleague at The Athletic, Nicole Auerbach, tweeted out a quote from a Big Ten spokesman saying, quote, "No vote has been held by our presidents and chancellors." So I would also ask, are you not entertained?
Yeah, I mean, that's just where, you know, it's, I think we saw just the dysfunction and the, like, just every man for himself attitude come out in realignment. Man, this feels a lot like realignment, but just significantly higher stakes because everyone is in trouble. You know, when you look back at realignment, you know, the Baylors, the Iowa States, Kansases, you know, the schools that just didn't have the same sort of football tradition, those are the ones that were worried. I mean, now, I mean, everyone. I think, you know, we've described no football season as an apocalyptic event for, you know, most of this thing, the last four or five months since this thing has been shut down, and that's been true. And I think, you know, and for most of the last 3 or 4 months, I thought they'd figure out a way to make it happen. I mean, we're in the single-digit percentages right now is where it feels like that a season happens, and that is a sobering reality.
David, before you go, theathletic.com, if you want to kind of plug the piece or tell us what kind of stood out, but you and Seth Emerson looking at the Georgia level of talent and where Tennessee is and finding the comparison and trying to look ahead, what stood out as you guys were putting that together?
Well, man, I Georgia has some good players. I've been told this, the sources have indicated this, but seeing it on paper is true. But I think the gap, you know, we did this for Florida as well. The gap between Tennessee and Florida is a lot closer than it would look like on the field. You know, I think Georgia just sort of has just willed their way to really lopsided victories over Tennessee the last couple of years under Jeremy Pruitt. Florida, we've seen Tennessee just sort of self-destruct in a lot of ways. But the gap is pretty far, and Tennessee's got a long ways to catch Georgia. But the idea that Tennessee could replace Florida as the chief rival for Georgia, I was surprised that a lot of Georgia folks feel like that is more likely. And, you know, I guess time will tell, but unfortunately, it looks like more time will tell than what we expected.
Read that piece at theathletic.com, the work by David Ubben. Find him on Twitter at David Ubben, and a lot of college football coverage, of course, at The Athletic. Hey, David, thanks for the time as always. We really appreciate it, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, guys.
David Ubben joining us here on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline.